You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, good morning. It's so wonderful to see each of you here this morning, whether you're watching here in the room or you're watching online or watching later. I'm so glad to come around the Word with you this morning. And I truly believe that this Word is a Word that God's going to speak to each of our hearts individually in a way that He only can. You know, for those who don't know, I like to be active. I like training. I like playing sport. If you didn't know, now you do. A few years ago, whilst I was training, I was doing a movement called seated box jumps. Now, I'm not sure if you've seen seated box jumps before, but what they are is essentially where you sit on a box, and then from that box, you jump onto another box, or sit on a bench, jump onto a box, like demonstrated in the video. Now, it all looks pretty straightforward, and I was doing these sets one time and got a little bit distracted, wasn't paying attention, and I missed the box. So the front of my foot landed on the box, but the rest of me didn't land on the box, and I ended up smashing my shin into the box. I developed a pretty bad wound, which then got infected and required 9 stitches to close it over. Now, needless to say, being quite wanting to be active, I was quite discouraged at the time, and I was like, well, now I can't train. What am I going to do? I had to be on bed rest for at least a week, and the doctor then said if the wound didn't close over on its own, because the skin on the shin's quite thin, they might have to put a skin graft from somewhere else, which would mean a procedure, you know, more recovery time, which, as you can imagine, for me was like worst news ever. I don't know if anyone's like this as well, but sometimes you hear bad news and immediately your mind goes to worst case scenario. You know, straight away I was like, what if I can never do a box jump again? What if I can never train again? What if I can never play sport again? What if I can never walk properly again? And straight away, my mind went to the worst case scenario. See, when we get discouraged, we can sometimes naturally go to that worst case scenario. We can get discouraged and our thoughts can go straight to the negative. I know mine did in that situation. In psychology, this is an unhelpful thought pattern that they call, hopefully I say this right, catastrophizing. Where we catastrophize a situation, we escalate the severity of our situation, which leads to negative feelings and behaviors. So we end up feeling anxious, we're worried, we panic, just like I did, because we're not sure what's going to happen. But I have good news this morning, my friends. The great news is, as followers of Jesus, this is not where we have to stay. This doesn't have to be our thought processes. The challenges are real. The things we face in our life are real. But there is a pathway forward. You know, it may not be instantaneous. Sometimes we go through challenging circumstances and they're real, they're tough, they're day-to-day things we've got to go to and we may want to give up. You know, I remember when I injured the shin, I remember praying for healing and I also got our prayer team to pray for healing. And it took time though. It wasn't like the next day I woke up and I'm like, oh, it's a miraculous healing, it's all closed over. But the miraculous healing did take place. I didn't need to have the skin graft. The infection did heal and the wound ended up closing over. And I've got a bit of a wicked scar. I'll tell you, I can show you after if you'd like to see. But it's completely healed over and I can do box jumps again. And I can do all things I want to do. So our God answers prayers, my friends. Be encouraged. Our God is a God of breakthrough and our God is God who answers prayers. So this morning, if you are taking notes, the title of my message is When Challenge Comes. My friend, God is with us in the midst of our challenge. He is good and loving and faithful. Psalm 105 says, "For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation." Now, don't just take my word for it. Time and time again in the Bible, we see God meeting people in their time of challenge. We see Daniel is rescued from the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are rescued from the fiery furnace. Jesus calms the storm when his disciples are on the boat. Paul and Silas escape from prison. See, in each of these stories, each person or each group of people faced a challenge. Challenge did come. The lion's den is a challenge. A fiery furnace is a challenge. Being in a storm is a challenge. Being in prison is a challenge. But in each of those situations, they were challenging situations, traumatic situations even, but God shows up for each person in a different way in their challenge. This morning, I want to look at the story of Elijah. Elijah was no stranger to challenge. Elijah knew what a challenging situation looked like. In 1 Kings 19, we actually see Elijah navigating a challenge. But the good news is we also see God moving in Elijah's life, meeting him in his challenge. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. So to give you some background, in 1 Kings 18, the chapter beforehand, there was a big showdown between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Elijah has this great victory where he proves that God is the one true living God. Later on in chapter 18, we see Elijah praying for rain, and this promised rain comes about and begins to fall, bringing about the end of a drought that had been going on for some time. We see in this moment that Elijah achieves great victories with God in 1 Kings 18. You know, for us today, these victories may look like a new job, a job promotion, a new relationship, a positive report from the doctor, finally seeing breakthrough in your family. We too see victories in our life. But after Elijah's great victory, the evil queen Jezebel hears what has happened. She hears how her prophets have been defeated. And so she poses a threat to Elijah's life. Sounds a bit like what the enemy does to us sometimes, hey? You're sitting on a mountaintop, or you've just had this great victory, and all of a sudden, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And all of a sudden, you find yourself in the midst of challenge. When the victories start to appear, it can sometimes feel like the challenge comes with it. But can I encourage you this morning that when challenge comes, God is with us, he will encounter us, and he will meet us. So let's read from 1 Kings 19, verse 3. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord. He said, take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who've already died." Here we see Elijah faces the challenge of Jezebel threatening his life. It is a real serious challenge, a threat to his life. He runs away and is discouraged, praying that his life be taken. So how does it relate to you and I today? Let's be honest, we all face challenging circumstances in life. There's things that come our way: sickness, family breakdown, broken relationship, financial struggles. These are all real things that we face. Have you ever found yourself in this place like Elijah? Discouraged, feeling like he did because the challenge was too great. "It's too hard. I feel like giving up. I'm not sure I can do this anymore. I'm not able to keep going on like this." I know I've said things like that before when I face challenging circumstances. See, our natural instincts as human, when challenged, can be going to self-preservation mode. Self-preservation is the fundamental tendency of humans and other living things to behave so as to avoid injury and maximize chances of survival. So, for example, by fleeing from dangerous situations or predators. Now, we see this in other living organisms. A couple of examples. I don't know if we have them here. I haven't seen them here. But in Malaysia, we've got these touch-me-not plants. The scientific name, if Christine's in the room, is Mimosa pudica. And what you do, as you can see in the video, is as soon as you touch the leaf closes over. So it's called a touch-me-not plant. So in order to protect itself, it closes its leaves over. Another example that we see is in an animal called a chameleon. Now, for all the kids in the room, see if you can spot the chameleon. So he's blended in to look like a leaf. You can see him there. You can see his legs mainly. But this is what living organisms do. They try to protect themselves. They try to avoid danger by blending in, by running away, by escaping from predators. So sometimes we, as humans, when faced with challenging circumstances, our instinct may be like Elijah, to escape, to avoid the challenge, to run away. We can become discouraged and give up hope like Elijah. But can I encourage you this morning, guys? It's not all doom and gloom. Can I encourage you this morning that this does not have to be our end game? Hebrews 10:39 says, "But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." Can I read that again? "But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." My friends, we have a God who is mighty and powerful and works all things out for good. In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that God causes everything, not some things, not some of the things, to work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for him. So let's keep reading in 1 Kings 19 and see God working things out for good. 1 Kings 19, starting at verse 10 now. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty." I think I've skipped too far forward. Sorry. Let's read from 1 Kings 19, verses 5 to 9. Then he, Elijah, lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." He looked around. There beside his head was some baked bread on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came down and touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, for the journey ahead will be too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. Now, I love this part of the scripture, because if you're taking notes, point number one, God supernaturally provides. See, this was no ordinary provision. An angel tapped him on the shoulder, and there was bread cooking on hot stones and a jar of water. We see later on that the food that he had the second time he ate gave him enough strength for 40 days and 40 nights to travel to Mount Sinai. This was no ordinary provision. This is not like your meat and three veg meal to last you for one or two meals a day. But this is exactly, it was exactly what Elijah needed for what God had called him to do. So what does this mean for you and I, my friends? God provides for whatever circumstances you are in. He provides what you need for what he calls you to do. God's provision may not be in the way you expect. I don't know if Elijah was expecting to get, you know, hot bread on stones and a jar of water. I'm not sure he was expecting to have a meal that would last him 40 days and 40 nights. But God gives according to what he sees. For his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. And what he gives, what at times may be invisible to us. Philippians 4:19 says, "And this same God who takes care of me," this is Paul speaking, "will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." Sometimes our provision can come in unexpected ways. An angel bringing you food is pretty supernatural nowadays, in our day to day. That would be pretty cool to see. But in today's world, it may look like something like an additional bit of work that results in additional finances. It may be government funding that comes through for something that you need. It may be someone giving you finances or blessing you with some help. It may be a provision of supernatural peace in what seems like an impossibly stressful situation. See, God's provision is exactly what you need for what he has called you to do. You know, sometimes receiving this help or provision can feel a little bit awkward. In today's society where we value greatly self-reliance, independence, they're seen as such strength, it can seem a bit countercultural to receive help. I know at times I pride myself, I'm like, you know, I'm being self-reliant, I'm being independent. But this is sometimes how God provides for us. So can I encourage you, in time of challenge, God provides. Take the mercy, accept the help. He will provide what you need in the season that you need it. So point number one, when challenge comes, God provides for us. Let's keep reading in 1 Kings 19 that I started reading before from verse 10. So here Elijah's in the cave and God meets him. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied again, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of you. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." What an amazing encounter with God. when challenge comes, point number two, God encounters us. We see God meets Elijah and he asks him, what are you doing here? He asks him twice, in fact. He's God, right? He knew what Elijah was doing there. He knew Elijah's thoughts. He didn't need to be told why Elijah was there. But here's the great thing about our God. He allows Elijah to express his feelings. He allows Elijah to express his foundation, his frustrations. And he allows Elijah to express and understand why he was there. Elijah catastrophizes his situation, thinking he's the only prophet left, which is not true, as we see later on that God tells him that there are 7,000 others who have remained faithful to God. But this is our goodness of our God. This is the greatness, the lovingness of our God. He doesn't tell Elijah, come on, just get over it. Come on, time to get over it. He doesn't tell him, come on, Elijah, pull your head in. There's more to it. God encounters Elijah personally. God reveals himself and his ways through the earthquake, through the wind, through the fire. But then he speaks to Elijah personally in a still small voice, in a loving, personal way, meeting Elijah exactly where he's at. So what does this mean for you and I today? My friend, God encounters you and I in our challenges. We can be real, sharing our heartaches, sharing our frustrations, sharing our disappointment. He hears us. He cares for us. He loves us. 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. We can tell him our worries. We can tell him the things that are causing us stress. We can give them to him. My friend, today you can give that concern to him. You were not designed to carry it on your own. You can come to him and give that weight to him. He is more than able to carry it. The amazing thing, though, is that God, as he reveals his nature to us, as we come to him, he reassures us of who he is. You know, I love that song we sang, that So Will I, that he's the God of creation, as Pastor Bevan spoke of in communion, that he is the God of all things. He is sovereign over all. There's nothing that surprises him. There's nothing that takes him off guard. But as he knows that, he can also guide us into that truth of being reassured of that and knowing that. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. What an amazing promise that Jesus gives to us, that we have Holy Spirit who can guide us into all truth, that when challenge comes and God encounters us, that Holy Spirit can give us insight, can give us wisdom that only he can. See, this is something that I've encountered myself. You know, there was a time in my life where I was quite discouraged. I went away to Perth to do a discipleship Bible school with YWAM. And during that time, God did like an amazing work in my life that transformed me. And there was one time we were in Busselton, down by the coast, and I was walking down the beach, and God encountered me there. And it just started off like nothing that impressive, but I was just sort of walking along the beach, and I was like, God, you know, I feel a bit discouraged. And the area that I sort of realized I was discouraged in is growing up, I was always considered one of the boys, you know, being quite active, being quite athletic, and I was never one of the girls that the boys were like, oh, do you want to go out with me? Do you want to be my girlfriend? So I was always one of the boys, but not one of the girls that the boys were after. And I remember sort of carrying a bit of discouragement with that. And, you know, the subtle, if I'm completely honest, the subtle undercurrent thought that I have is like, well, maybe I'm not worth pursuing. That's why that these guys are not pursuing me. But, you know, I remember saying that out to God, and when I was on Busselton walking around the beach, feeling a bit discouraged. And in that moment, God encountered me. And, you know, I remember this flooding feeling of love coming over me. And I can still remember, like, as if it was yesterday. God says to me, I have relentlessly and endlessly pursued you. And I just, like, burst into tears walking on the beach in the middle of nowhere. But God met me there. And like I said, that encounter has held me. That encounter on my journey of faith will be one that I remember for the rest of my life. And that's not the only encounter, but they're one of them that I can hold on to, and I know that my God has relentlessly and endlessly pursued me. So my friend, what situation are you facing that you need God to encounter you today? I'll say that again. What situation are you facing that you need God to encounter you today? Can I encourage you? God is not far away. He is close. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." God encounters us, and as he does, it can bring some great understanding to some deep, unrooted truths like I had in my life. It can lead to greater freedom and greater breakthroughs. My friends, he guides us into all truth like he did me, bringing revelation. And we'll see that God does this in Elijah's case as well. So when challenge comes, God supernaturally provides. When challenge comes, God encounters us. Once God encounters Elijah, though, the story doesn't end there. There is more. So let's keep reading from 1 Kings 19, verse 15. "Then the Lord said to him, 'Go back the way you came. Go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu's son, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Meholah to replace you as my prophet. Anyone who escapes Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him.'" So God supernaturally provides, God encounters Elijah, and point number three, God directs. We see here God gives specific instructions to Elijah on what he wants him to do next. He also reassures Elijah that he's not alone. God has preserved 7,000 others who, like Elijah, have remained faithful. See, sometimes we may feel alone in our challenge. We may feel like we're the only one doing it tough, but God is orchestrating around us. There are others who are navigating challenge too, but God is orchestrating things all around us. We see the instruction that God gives Elijah in verse 15. God tells Elijah to go. This year, our declaration is to grow and go. We see here how God gives Elijah a clear direction. Go back the same way you came. Sometimes we may have to go back the way we came to see great outcomes. What do I mean by this? Sometimes we may have to go back into things in our past and walk through some of the stuff we have there, allowing God to bring greater revelation, breakthrough, healing, and restoration. Once again, Holy Spirit guiding us into all truth. Again, this is a journey that I've been on myself. For those of you who don't know, when I first started in ministry here at the church, I was quite hesitant or resistant. You know, at all costs, I tried to avoid responsibility. If I had to come up on the pulpit, I was a bit like, I don't really want to, but I will if I have to. You know, I knew there were gifts on my life that God had put on my life, but I was so hesitant and so resistant, like, no, I don't want the responsibility to give it to someone else. And during one of our core leadership nights, I asked Holy Spirit, where has this hesitancy actually come from? Like, why am I so hesitant when clearly you've put things on my life? And you know, he revealed to me that the society that I grew up in Malaysia, which is very performance-based or very performance-focused, made me have this fear of failure, or resulted in me having this fear of failure. That I was constantly afraid of failing or not doing well because I was so wanted to perform well. But here's the thing, because I didn't, by not taking on a responsibility, by being hesitant, then there was no risk of failure, right? So if I didn't do anything, then there's no risk of failure. So it was like my safeguard. It was my self-preservation to avoid that fear of failure. But you know, that night at our core leadership team, I actually spoke it out to the team. I said, this is what Holy Spirit's revealing to me. And in that moment, it was like, it was exposed to the light of Jesus and the power that it had over me, that power of that fear of failure just disappeared. See, God directed me in that moment. He brought that truth to my life and allowed me to walk in freedom. Going back the way I came, going back to my childhood experiences, going back to what I'd done, allowed me to today walk in greater freedom, has allowed me to walk in who God has called me to be. Look, I'm not fully there. I'm still on the journey. There's some days I still a bit go like, really, do I have to go and do that? But I remember that moment that Holy Spirit has given me that direction, that Holy Spirit has called me to that, and I can walk in it. So I ask you, my friends, this morning, where may you have to go back the way you came in order to walk in greater freedom? You know, it may be confronting. It may require you to go on a journey of healing and restoration. It may require professional help from a counselor, a doctor, a psychologist. But can I encourage you? It's so worth it. The healing, the restoration, the freedom, that God intended for us when he sent Jesus to die on the cross so we could walk in that freedom is so worth it. And it's for you, and it's for me, and it's for each one of us. So can I encourage you? If there are areas that you need to go back where you came from, allow Holy Spirit to speak into your heart, into your life. The amazing part about this goal, though, was that the goal for Elijah was not just for him. God gave him instructions to anoint new kings and to anoint Elijah as its successor. So what does this mean for us today? There is a goal for each one of us. There is a goal for you. There is a goal for me. There are things that God has purposed for your life. But the great thing is, the goal is not just for you. There are lives that will be impacted by your going. So my friend, where is God calling you to go? And who will you impact in your going? God directs Elijah, and Elijah goes. As a result of this, we see Elisha coming on board as his assistant. Elisha, who then later receives a double portion anointing. Elisha, who performs the miraculous in the Bible that we can see in 2 Kings, supernatural provision, sickness being healed, the dead being brought back to life. See, the powerful breakthroughs that Elisha brought about with God impacted many lives. But Elijah, staying the course with God in spite of his challenges, had great impact for the future. My friends, you staying the course when challenge comes, in the midst of your challenge, has an impact for the future. It positively impacts your life, your family's life, your friend's life, and those in your sphere of influence. So as I wrap up this morning, can I encourage you? Let's together be people that stay the course when challenge comes. It won't always be easy. The journey can be tough. But be assured that God will be providing for you, God will encounter you, and God will direct you in the midst of your challenge. Psalm 16:8 says, "I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me." I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. My friends, God is with us. He is for us. He is right beside us, whatever situation we might find ourselves in. And you know, this morning, in a moment, the worship team will come up and we're going to spend a time in worship. But I truly believe that God wants to encounter people here this morning. One of the questions I asked is, what situation are you facing that you need God to encounter you today? He is here. His presence is here. He is here to meet each one of us as he did Elijah. So when the creative team comes and as they sing, can I invite you to respond to him, whatever that might look like? If you want to come down to the front, the altar is open. And one of the pastors or leaders will come and pray for you if you would like prayer. But the second question I asked is, where do you have to go back the way you came in order to walk in greater freedom? And as I speak, this is the Holy Spirit's been stirring something in your heart, you know, pinpointing something at you that, you know, you feel that little bit of a sting as he reminds you of it. Holy Spirit doesn't bring it up to cause you pain or cause you suffering, but to bring restoration, to bring healing, and to bring freedom. So can I encourage you, my friends, that we serve an almighty God. We serve a good God who will meet us where we're at and who loves us greatly, who will encounter us, who will provide for us, and who will direct us.